entrance of God's word gives understanding unto the simple. So open your heart and you receive insight. Welcome to Beloved City, a place you can call home, a place where you can experience the practicality of God's word. Be diligent to present yourself to prove unto God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So sit tight, get your Bible, and prepare to take notes as you tune into today's message. God bless you as you listen.
And be taught by you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray lastly that your word will come with simplicity. Father, I pray that your word will come with simplicity. Father, and I pray that even in our midst, that your word will have a free course and your word will be glorified in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name. All right. Please, let's have our seats. Okay. First, I want to thank God for this opportunity to share his word with his people. It is not something I take for granted. And also, I want to thank my spiritual father, my mentor, my pastor, Pastor Dami Dada and Pastor Joyce Dada, for this privilege of sharing this with God's people. And I pray for every one of us that even as we've joined in today's meeting, that God will minister to us in Jesus' name. And we'll go beyond just learning and having big heads, but we'll learn, that our hearts will learn, and we'll find application to these words in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, let's take the confession. Okay, as God's word is taught and I listen, please, the spirit of wisdom and revelation rest upon me to hear the inaudible. My eye sees clearly the invisible. My heart perceives rightly the intangible. The Holy Ghost effectively communicates to me, increasing my faith, applying my heart to wisdom, causing me to walk in healing and victory everywhere I go, and leading me to fulfill God's will on earth. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's open to the book of 2 Timothy 2:15. Hallelujah. If I don't start from there, then I don't know the son of who I am. Amen. Okay, let's do KJV. Okay, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I know this is a verse that we've read over and over again in this church. So there is a need to rightly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. So emphasis on rightly, not just dividing. You can divide and divide wrongly. Amen. So emphasis on rightly, but we see that for you to do it rightly, then you have to do a whole lot of studying. Amen. And you know, I heard something recently. Someone said, a knowledge that is not rightly interpreted, there will be no grace for it. Amen. You know, every word of God has grace for its manifestation. Amen. So if there is a knowledge you have, but it is not interpreted according to God's own interpretation, you won't see the manifestation, because that is not God's interpretation of that word. So I pray this afternoon for accurate interpretation of God's word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the topic for today is power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Power of an endless life. Amen. This is a very vast and powerful topic, and I have things to say, but the truth is I don't know what I'll say. I am trusting God to communicate his mind to us. Let's open the book of Hebrews 7 verse 16. Okay, can we start from 15? Sorry, from verse 15. Okay, it says, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. Okay, let's open to the book of Genesis chapter 14 from 17 to 20. Genesis chapter 14 from verse 17 to 20. Okay, it says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. That's talking about Abraham. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is in the king's dale. Next verse. Okay, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Striker, can we go back? Oh, okay, so I want us to pay attention to that he brought forth bread and wine. Amen. Because we'll be going back to it. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Okay, next verse. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Amen. Okay, let's open to Psalm 110, verse 4. Hallelujah. Okay, he said, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So we see from the book of that Hebrews 7, and also we are seeing in the book of Psalms 110, endless life forever, everything in association with Melchizedek. And we have to check the book of Genesis chapter 14 to actually see who this Melchizedek was. So we saw that he was a priest of God, that Abraham, the patriarch, like the father of Levi, who was meant to collect tithes, had to pay tithes to. Amen. And according to the book of Hebrews, we saw that this Melchizedek, the Bible said, he does not have beginning of days, neither does he have an end of days. Hallelujah. So let's go back to that Hebrews 7:16. And the Bible said he was powered by endless life. Amen. So if we check, let's check NLT for this same verse. NLT. Okay, he said he became a priest not by meeting the old requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. Hallelujah. Someone say, life that cannot be destroyed. Okay, so we know endless means something that has no end. Hallelujah. Endless life, something that has no end. And according to this Bible verse, it's telling us that a life that cannot be destroyed. Amen. Okay, so we all know John 3:16, right? So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You all know, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So something that is everlasting too is same thing as being endless. Amen. So according to that John 3:16, we know that, okay, believing in Jesus, accepting him, gives us this everlasting life, which is the endless life. Amen. Amen. So but then why do we need to believe in Jesus to access this everlasting life? That's a good question to ask. Okay, so let's open to the book of Genesis 3:2-5. Amen. Okay, so the goal of this message is not just to say deep things, hallelujah, but it is for us to find application of this whole thing. Amen. Okay, so Genesis chapter 3 from verse 2. Okay, this is a story we all know well. This is in the Garden of Eden. So, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Next verse. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Okay. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Amen. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we saw where death was introduced. Amen. So from this verse, we saw that the serpent told the woman something. He said, the day you eat it, that is indirectly telling the woman that the day you die, because God had already told them that if you eat, you will die. So, but he's changing the word now. He said, the day you eat it, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hallelujah. So that means death is a function of a knowledge. Hallelujah. So death is a function of a knowledge. And we see from the life of Adam and Eve, which were the first people that died. Amen. We saw that even apart from the fact that they now had to die physically, like their life was cut short, we saw things that were beginning to find expression in them, which are things we call expressions of death. Hallelujah. So when God created man, like Daniel was saying, when he was leading the, you know, talking about someone masturbating and all. Amen. So when God created Adam and Eve, amen, they had no capability to masturbate. Amen. So man does not have the capability to sin. Amen. But they could do it because of a knowledge that they got after eating the fruit. Amen. So death was a function, was a result of a knowledge. And this knowledge brought about not just losing of life, but it brought about corruption. Amen. So, and that corruption is expressed in things like sin. It is expressed in things like even sickness, poverty. This was never in the life that God intended for us. Hallelujah. So if you're poor, it is an expression of death. It is because you still have the capability, as in you still have this expression somehow in you. That is why you can feel sick. So where am I heading to? So if death is a function of knowledge, then life too is a function of knowledge. Hallelujah. Life is a function of knowledge. Okay. So So life also is a function of knowledge. You know, apart from God not wanting us to drop dead, right? Like when we talk about eternal life, we know, okay, someone that is a clear picture of that is Jesus, right? So Jesus, he died and he resurrected and is alive forever. Amen. That is talking about not dropping dead now. But apart from the fact that God does not want us to drop dead, God has given us life. Amen. But he didn't just give us life for us to have life. He gave us life so that life will not have an ending. Amen. So what am I trying to get at? You know, Pazami, we always say something. He said, someone like Lazarus, he died, right? And he was raised from the dead, right? But where is Lazarus today? He's still dead, right? So he had a life, but the life was not eternal. Amen. So that is what God has for us. I'm looking for a Bible verse I jotted down. Okay, John 17 verse 3. Amen. Literal Standard Version. Okay, John 17 verse 3. Okay, he says, and this is continuous life, that they may know you, the only true God, and him who you sent, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's read the KJV now. Amen. So it says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. So, like I said earlier, death is a result of a knowledge. Amen. And life also is a result of a knowledge. Let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 7, verse 16. Then I want to show you something. Okay, so he said Melchizedek, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Amen. Okay, so we know the law he was talking about was the law given to the Israelite, right? So that was a knowledge, that was a commandment. But the Bible equates the kind of knowledge Melchizedek had, he equated it to power of an endless life. Amen. So Melchizedek, unlike Aaron and his priesthood, who were powered by the knowledge of do this and don't do this, according to what Moses gave them. Hallelujah. But Melchizedek, he had the knowledge that transcends do this and don't do this. Amen. So he had insights into life. Amen. And what is that insight that he had? Okay, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 14. Amen. Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. Or let's go to 18. The part that talked about him bringing wine. Okay, yeah. So he said, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Amen. So this bread and wine that he brought with him, it is very significant. Okay, let's open to the book of John chapter 6 from verse 50. So let's see what this bread and wine means. Amen. Okay, this is Jesus. He said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Hallelujah. Say, a man may eat thereof and not die. Okay, let's go to the next verse. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. Amen. Do you hear what Jesus said? He shall live forever. The same thing as having life that does not end. And the bread which I will give you is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 52. Okay, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Amen. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him at the last day. 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in him. Hallelujah. So we saw Jesus comparing his flesh to bread, right? And he also compared his blood to wine. Amen. And we saw that when Melchizedek went to meet Abraham, he went with bread and wine, a symbol of the flesh of Jesus and his blood, which is also a symbol of fellowship with the Word and with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So one thing that brings endless life, it is by the fellowship with the Word and with the Spirit. Amen. And where am I going with this? You know, see, according to the scriptures, one thing I have learned is that when we talk about life in God, the more you know, the more you live. Hallelujah. Like Daniel was saying, that person had the revelation that Jesus was in heaven and that Spirit is in him. That Spirit in him could not masturbate. See, as soon as the person had that revelation, that expression of death called masturbation was defeated. Amen. So if you can have a revelation that defeats poverty, that means you have defeated that part of death. Amen. If you can have a revelation, if you can have a knowledge that sickness is not a thing, then that expression of death is defeated. Amen. There was a time while I was still in school. I'm not someone that loves watching movies, but that day I was praying, then I saw my roommates watching a movie. I don't know what came over me. I just told him, let me join you. So I watched the movie. It was about 2 hours. Then when the movie ended, I was just like, Tokpe, you just wasted 2 hours of your life. Because I was like, wait, why did I do this? But after a while, you know, like Pastor Samuel says, so sometimes even in movies, God can teach you. Amen. So then after a while, I started like meditating on that movie. So the title of the movie is Lucy. Amen. Amen. So let me just briefly describe what happened in the movie. So in the movie, some people discovered that I think that's even scientifically proven that dolphins they use a greater percentage of their brain compared to humans. We use just a little portion of our brain capacity. So some people decide to extract things from the brain of the dolphins, and they were trying to ship those drugs illegally. So they had to eat it in some people. Some things happened. That thing got loose inside someone, and that substance got diffused in her. So the implication of this was that then, according to the movie, then she started because of that thing from the dolphin. So she too, little by little, she was having the capacity to use more of her brain. So as she was gaining more capacity to use her brain, then at first she saw that she could be here and be hearing what someone was saying at Elijah. That was as at when she used maybe like 30% of her brain. Then as at the point when she got to use like 40%, she went beyond seeing or hearing things afar. She could control people. Amen. She could control gun, and gun would just come to her hand. Like she could do different stuff. So as she was getting to use more of her brain, she was having more ability. Then at the end of the movie, she got to 100%. Hallelujah. So at that 100%, the people that were with her, they just saw that she just disappeared, and they were like, where is she? And they just saw a message on the nearest computer. She said, I am everywhere. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to portray. See, like when you get 100% of the knowledge of God, what do you become? You become God. See, Paul says something we know in parts. There is a reason why God made us know in parts. And should I tell you that reason? In fact, it is in the Bible. The Bible said, when we see him, we shall be like him. See, at that point, there will be nothing hidden. The only reason why we'll be like him, like exactly like him, both in character, in ability and all, is because we see him and we know him as he knows us. Hallelujah. So from that movie, I saw that, okay, the more I know God, the more I can express his life. Amen. See, the current position you are in life, or your current expression of God's life, is a function of how much you know God. See, the reason why Pastor Adeboye could say that, okay, I have raised a few dead, while you have never healed malaria, it is not because he has a special Holy Spirit, amen, but it is the level of revelation, the level of knowledge he has about God, that has opened him to becoming that level of God, amen. You know, Azami taught us about knowing the names of God. Like when you know God, when you have a revelation of God the healer, the truth is you become the healer. In quotes, don't misquote me. But like once you know God as that, like you have that knowledge of God, then you can express that life of God. Amen. Amen. And we see that according to the book of John 10:10. Amen. Amen. Jesus said something. He said, he was talking about the thief, but that's not my point. So he said, I am come that they might have life. Amen. But he didn't stop there. He said, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. So God's plan for us is not just for us the life that is on and off. Amen. For some of us, at some point, then we got healed. Then after a while, it comes back. Amen. The sickness getting healed is an expression of life. Amen. But it is like this expression. It is not abiding. Amen. Jesus said, I want you to bear fruit. But I'm not just concerned about you bearing fruit. He said that your fruit might abide. Amen. So we saw this in the life of Melchizedek. He didn't just have a life. He didn't have a revelation that was for a time. He had the revelation that went beyond him. Amen. And apart from Melchizedek, we saw other people in the Bible that had this kind of knowledge of the life of God. That even when they dropped dead physically, in fact, they didn't die, they slept. Because even them sleeping did not put a stop to their ministry. Amen. We saw in the book of Hebrews, he's saying that Melchizedek is a priest forever. Amen. So that means if you are called to be a pastor, your expression should be one that abides forever. Amen. So if you are called to be an intercessor, it should be something that, see, this life should not be something that is intermittent. You know how sometimes you have faith to heal the sick, but some other times, even if you have faith, it does not work. This is no endless life. Like that is just expression of a life that can show up and might fail. But we saw someone like Elisha, even at his death, hallelujah, his ministry did not end. Amen. Because even at his death, he was raising the dead. Ha, God. Amen. You know, Pastor Sammy say something that if you get to heaven and you meet Paul and he tells you that me, I speak in tongues and I use it to win nations, and you tell God that I speak in tongues and I use it to buy laptop, you'll be like, is this guy serious? As in, what's this? But now imagine you being alive, you don't even have a testimony of raising the dead, but a dead man, well, supposedly dead, because me, I don't believe he's dead. Someone that you think is dead, is raising the dead. Amen. But you that you claim you are alive, and you are living a life of limitation, a life that is not transcendent. Amen. You don't even have the testimony of raising the dead. Amen. So, like, that's why I said this message is about application. One thing I'm trying to pass across by the help of God with this message is that, see, if you have this consciousness in you, then you will know that everything counts. Hallelujah. You know that every decision, every step counts. Amen. Because even that's your marriage, even that's your job, even that's your ministry, God does not intend for it to be something that will be temporary. Amen. Now, it does not mean you will not one day sleep. You know, when I read the Bible, I see things like God telling David that his throne will be forever. Hallelujah. So, but is David still alive? But is the throne of David dead? That's something that is endless. Amen. Like, his throne even goes beyond the time that he spends on earth. So that is the mindset God wants us to have about everything we do. Like, something that goes beyond time, something that can abide, something that something that has eternal substance. You know, Mama was saying something. Said, see, it is not about looking for the good life. It is about the higher life, not the better life. Amen. So the Bible also said, put your focus, put your thoughts on things above, because those are things that abide forever. Amen. And also in the Bible, you know, we get to see someone like Joseph, for example. Joseph, when he died, he told the Israelites that take my bones to Israel, like don't leave me in Egypt. Amen. Then we saw that even some great people like Abraham and the likes and all that, so they were all buried close to a place. Amen. Then in the book of Matthew, I think Matthew 28, you know, the first time I saw that Bible verse, I had to go and ask Pastor Damina, wait, I saw something. Let's open to Matthew 28. I believe that's what it is. I'm talking about Jesus' resurrection. 27. Okay, Matthew 27. Okay, so I'm looking for the parts where it said that many saints that were dead rose. Let me see if I noted that down. Sorry. Okay, thank you, sir. Matthew 27:51-52. Okay, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Amen. Okay, the next verse. Okay, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. But let's go back to that previous verse. That's 52. He said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints. Amen. So I had always read this, of course, but that day I paid more attention. I saw that it didn't say that their spirit arose. Amen. He said their body. So that means when Jesus resurrected, something happened. You know, the main attention was always on Jesus rising, but we saw that he didn't rise alone. Amen. That some people resurrected with him. Now, not their spirit. The Bible, thank God I didn't write the book of Matthew. So the Bible said many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Amen. You know, people, they had this revelation, and this revelation of this life made them to be specific about where they should be buried. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, no decision, it is all, there's no decision you just make out of let me just make it. You do everything with eternity in view. Amen. You make every decision, you take every step with eternity in view. Amen. I wrote down, I said, there is an higher life, and this is the life that is worth pursuing. This is the life that is worth pursuing. Now, going back to our perfect picture of eternal life or endless life, that is Jesus. Now, ideally, right, we all know that at his coming, we'll be given new bodies, right? And we have a life that never ends. Amen. So ideally, that is our hope. That is what we are waiting for. Amen. That is what we are waiting for. But let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 4 to 5. I want to show something. Okay, so it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come." Amen. So, ideally, right, because of the limitation of the body we are carrying, there are some things that are not meant for this age. Amen. For example, you falling sick now does not actually mean that you are not a Christian or you are not saved. Amen. That is because of the limitation of the flesh you are carrying. But this Hebrews chapter 6 verse 5 made us know that it is possible to have a taste of that world to come. Amen. You know, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, he said at that time, he said there will be no more sorrow, there will be no more tears, there will be no more sickness. So not falling sick, it is not a thing of this age, it is a thing of the age to come. Amen. But the Bible made us know that by fellowshipping with the word, by fellowshipping with the spirit, we can have a taste of this world to come. That's why you see someone like Enoch. The Bible said Enoch walked with God. See, what the Bible says is that he walked with God. But the truth is that there was a knowledge he was having. Just like that movie I shared, Enoch was having a knowledge. The more of that knowledge he's having, the more he was becoming like God. I believe that that point where Paul was saying that when we see him, it's no longer been part. See, he got to a knowledge of God that, no, like, he was in the fullness of the expression of the age to come. So there was no way he can be contained in this age. See, even also Abraham, that's why the Bible said in that Genesis that Melchizedek brought wine and he brought bread. See, that encounter with Melchizedek changed Abraham's mindset about God for life. That's why you see the book of Hebrews 11 talking about these heroes of faith. See, they were not concerned about anything. They had this thing they had seen that they were focused on, that they were pursuing. So that thing they were pursuing was determining every other thing. It was determining where they were living. It was determining who they were getting married to. It was determining the kind of business they were doing. It was the factor that was determining it is time to move, it is time to stay, because they had a view of a possibility. But we, that we now have the Holy Spirit, like it is expressly made available to us. See, what you can touch depends on how far you are ready to go. See, the Bible said by having the Holy Spirit that we can have a taste of the powers of the world to come. Now, there is no limitation to that taste. Amen. So I can decide in the Holy Ghost that, okay, an expression of the age to come, which is not falling sick, God, I want to taste it. I have it. This expression of not being poor, because that is not possible in that age, I want to have a taste of it. So the more your mind can capture this knowledge, the more you become. And God did not place a limit on this. I believe Enoch was capturing it. I want a taste of not falling sick. I want a taste of consistent work with God. I want a taste of seeing into things to come. I want a taste of this. I want a taste of that. I believe at some point he said, I want a taste of God. Hallelujah. You see, and there is no point you will become God and you walk on this physical earth. So God had to take him. Amen. So, John 17:3 shows us that we can go beyond tasting and have the full meal. So let's go back to that John 17:3. He said, "This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." He called it eternal life. Life is knowing God, but it can be eternal, like it can be unending. It can be continuous. Amen. It can be without end. Amen. So, from all this my explanation, we can say that the power of endless life in Melchizedek was knowledge. Was a knowledge. Because if we go back to that Hebrews 7:16, it said that the previous people, they were powered by carnal laws. That's do's and don'ts. That means there was a knowledge they had. But he was powered by endless life. So that means it was a kind of knowledge that he had too. So what was powering Melchizedek to the point that he does not have an end of days was a knowledge. And this can be true, because we saw people like Enoch doing the same thing. They had this knowledge and they had like no ending of life. Amen. So apart from not dying in the flesh now, this endless life can also be termed incorruptible life. So even if your own faith does not carry the okay, like Enoch, I am asking you. You know, I was listening to Lawrence Sawyer, and I will hear him say things like, "Jesus, I want to finish you." See, and the truth is that the Bible said, "Ask, and it shall be given," right? No clause into it. So, see, the more of God you desire, the more you have. And we have seen these possibilities, because even going away from the Bible times, we see people drinking poison nowadays. We see people laying hands on the dead. See, that is how much they have demanded of the God's life, and they have it. The one we have is the one we have demanded. It is the knowledge that we have had. Amen. So, like I've mentioned before, this knowledge comes by communion. Communing with the Word and with the Spirit. Communing with the Word and with the Spirit. Amen. Okay, I also wrote here that whatsoever is done from the place of knowledge of God, it is eternal. Whatsoever you do from the place of knowledge of God is eternal. Because according to what Jesus said, eternal life is just knowing Jesus and knowing God. So whatsoever you do from that knowledge, it is eternal. Be it ministry, be it marriage, be it intercession, like we saw in the case of Jesus being our high priest and all that. So it is from a knowledge. It is that knowledge that makes it eternal. But things that we do by knowledge of do's and don'ts, it is temporary. So next time you want to make a decision about that job, about that relationship, just know that once your decision is based on logic, what you think, 5 points from this book, I read this, I did this, I'm not saying God cannot speak to you through those things, but let it be God speaking to you through those things. But once your decision is based on that, know that that thing is temporary and it cannot abide forever. But once that thing is powered by the knowledge of God, know that it will go beyond you. It will transcend you. Even if you leave, That thing will abide. Hallelujah. That thing is going to abide. Okay. So if there's anything I want us to take from this message, is that eternal life is possible. Hallelujah. Eternal life is possible. And like I've made us to know, see, eternal life, while we are still on it, it is as much as you want to grab that you express. Like I said, the more you know, the more you live. You know, some of us, we might be content with, I'm not broke, I have conquered death expressed as poverty, and we are okay with that. That is an expression of eternal life. So you are expressing eternal life, but you are still sick. You still have a bad marriage. You are not concerned about touching eternal life in that aspect. That is you limiting yourself, not God. But we saw in people like Enoch that it is possible to have it in abundance. Amen. Say it is possible to have it all. It is possible to have it in abundance. So don't limit the eternal life that you want to express. Jesus has given us an open check. So how much of eternal life that you express depends on how much you desire. And it is not just about desire, it is about knowledge. Once you know that this is not supposed to be happening to a believer, you see, by that knowledge, you've conquered that. And, you know, myself and Lucky, we used to say something. So, this is going to be casting myself, though I am no longer like that, so I can talk about it. So while we were in school, people were always saying that, oh, more. BC, then whenever they call for prayer, see, people have just zeroed their mind that Tokwe and Lucky is going to sleep. So, like, it was like that for so many reasons anyway, but that's not my point. But, you know, one thing that was very important to myself and to him too was the place of knowledge. See, if you tell me then, because now I don't sleep in prayer, still, come on. So then, even though I could sleep in just 6 hours prayer, but if you call me for a teaching of 30 hours, I will never sleep. Because from my own personal experience, I saw and I know that I am about to hear something that will make me conquer in an area of life. So I am not ready to trade it for anything. One thing I don't joke with is learning. Once you tell me that this meeting is a teaching meeting, there's nothing that can make me sleep. Because I am always thinking that it is possible you say something and there's this expression of death that I still have, and you give the solution and I'm sleeping at that time. So I don't joke with knowledge. And this is not even me trying to sugarcoat this whole knowledge and learning thing. Because then, even before I was even taught and all that, I saw that I had some issues. For example, like, then I knew I was always having issues with, if I'm walking on the road, no matter how wide that road is, there must be cobweb that will touch my head. And when I experienced that, I'm like, God, see, these village people, they, it's not like I'm doing that well. I'm just doing a little bit well. Just give me small space. Now, make like, I should just prosper a bit. So because I want to do well and I want to prosper, means I'll be like, it's a lie. See, it is fire for fire. And I'll go on 3 days dry. Ha. The funny thing is, after I finish the 3 days drive, it can be 3 days later, another cobweb. I'm like, God, I'm dead. But I was very consistent. See, whenever it happens, I'm like, see, it's either you kill me or I kill myself. So whenever it happens again, I'll go on another 3 days drive. So I was fasting, and fasting to the point that some people in my class saw me. They were like, Tokpe, why do you look like someone from Somalia? So I had to be lying to people that I was sick, because I could not be telling them that it is fasting and fasting to this point. But the truth is that I got the knowledge that, see, these foes, they've been defeated. And I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, that was one knowledge. In fact, when I still had that knowledge, they were still showing me shade. So I had to get like an higher knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Is that, see, this life of Christ, sometimes it is by faith. And I think the person that shared that with me was actually lucky. We were just discussing that day. So he was telling me that, see, that I think he listened to a message. So we're saying that the person said that, see, that sometimes even the devil knows that he's defeated, but he tries as much as possible to paint a picture to you that he has not been defeated. So as long as you keep believing that picture, it does not change the fact that he has been defeated, but he's giving you a picture and you are believing it. You still live as if he has not been defeated. So once I got that knowledge, so when the cobweb comes, I'm like, see, it is not the devil that will be assigning fast to me. It is true now, because me, I just felt like, okay, if the devil wants me to fast, you know what to do. So the devil is calling fast for me. The devil will be calling prayer for me. If I have some dreams, then I'll start to pray. I am supposed to pray when I want to pray and when God is leading me, not the devil leading me to prayer. So then, if I'm working and I see cobweb on my head, I'll be like, okay, that's your own business. At first, it was looking like I was living in denial. So I was having that, I was just ignoring that me. I know that this thing, it is not real. It is just the devil trying to mess with my mind. Then also dreams, sometimes I'll have dreams, they'll beat me in my dreams. So, but from that knowledge that, okay, it is just the devil trying to paint a picture. And I stayed with that consistently. As I stayed with it, those things were still happening. But after some years, in fact, I could not pinpoint the year that thing stopped. But I just knew that from not caring about it, it just stopped happening. And that was the function of the knowledge. Because of that knowledge, that expression of death in me is conquered for life. It's conquered for life. Like, there's nothing see, to today, the devil cannot give me prayer points. That's it. The devil cannot assign fast to me. You know, one fine thing happened while I was serving. So we were in camp. I was an executive, so we're in camp. So the escort used to have prayers by 3 a.m. So me, I was sleeping. We were all sleeping to wake up by 3. So as I was sleeping, I was half asleep, half awake. Then I saw like a spirit standing right where I was sleeping. Now, like a demon. Me, as I woke up, I was not like, wait, what's my own business? Oh my God, day or day, me, I'll sleep my sleep. So me, I just went back and sleep. That, like I said, you are not the one that will tell me when to pray. You are not the one that will give me prayer point. So I went back to sleep. Though I know that in my mind, I've still been doubting that, she's evil, it was just my mind painting. But me, I didn't even care whether it was real, it was my mind. Then we started praying. Then someone said he saw a demon standing. Me, I was like, man, I don't see him before, but it's not my own business, because me, I know there's nothing that can happen to me. So, but that is a function of the knowledge. And that knowledge brought about a life. Amen. So, like I said, eternal life is possible. I know we've all experienced eternal life in one way. And if you're able to experience it in that way, it means in the other ways that you are not experiencing it yet, it is possible too. Hallelujah. Eternal life is possible. 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 It is possible for you not to ever fall sick. It is not just for you to fall sick and be ill, but it is possible for you to never fall sick. And the ultimate one, see, it is possible for you not to die. We've seen someone experience it. We've seen Enoch, hallelujah. So it is how much your faith, how much your mind can capture. The more you can capture, the more you can express. Say eternal life is possible. Eternal life is possible. Let's begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's begin to think about that area of our life that is experiencing death, and let's see eternal life taking shape in it, finding expression in that area.
Amen. Let's pray for him that even as he has ministered to us today, that for every area of his life that still needs the touch of God, that indeed God would visit him in the name of Jesus. That indeed God will visit him. That indeed God will reveal himself in that situation in the name of Jesus. That indeed he will not be a castaway after declaring this message to us in the name of Jesus. Mandareba shate, his life will bear fruit. That every area of his life receives the touch of God, receives the hand of God, receives the presence of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our confession together. Let's take it together. One, two, go. I receive, obey, and continue in all I've been taught, making me an access point for heaven to evade changes in the place of my field by the leading of His Spirit. I live a faith-filled life, causing miracles to abound all around me. My hands heal the sick as I reveal God's wisdom to my generation. Amen. So something was laid in my heart to just say. How many of us remember what Pastor Joyce said about childbirth for her? That she did not experience pain. Amen. That's childbirth, right? That's eternal life. So it just came to my mind that by the Holy Spirit, that means that down to things like, say, menstrual pain, eternal life can swallow it up. Amen. Amen. So no matter how big or how small it might seem, God can handle it. I have an aunt that she just gets angry every time. Do you understand? And she mentions that it's whenever her period comes that she'll just be angry and be reacting to everybody, reacting to her husband and all that. And then she prayed about it and she said that it was like there was this calmness of God that just rested on her. So whenever that thing comes up, she does not experience pain. Amen. How much more us? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We hope you are blessed. For questions or inquiries, send an email to belovedcityunited@gmail.com. You can download our messages on our Beloved City Telegram page, and be sure to follow us on all our social media platforms for more updates. We hope to see you next time. Stay blessed.